talk to us now and go to the TNT Radio Interactive Live chat room at tntradio.live. Lighting the fuse for freedom. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT. You're listening to Dirk Pullman on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
And my guest is Jens Berger from the Nachrichtenseiten, Germany's premier alternative media magazine on the internet, which is under fire. And we have explained in the last hour how Nachrichtenseiten went from the link between the mainstream media and the alternative media as the best quality publication now to being an outcast. And that was partly it started, and this is why we explained it, with an MI6 operation in all of Europe. To get the information regarding Russia, mostly Russia, under control. And they were picking together people who they considered reliable on this topic to form networks which could be used on the media. And I mentioned that two of them, that was Ralf Fuchs, who was from the Green Party and is the head, was the head of the foundation of the Green Party. They get a ton of money from the state for helping the political landscape. Yeah, and his wife, Marie-Louise Beck, who was a parliamentarian, European Parliament parliamentarian, they were his wife was considered to be the main person by MI6 for this network integrity initiative, as it was funny enough called, integrity for doing disinformation on a secret level to build networks who would not publicly say who they are, but influence the scheme so that you could say on this, on our public TV, we saw these people, we saw the expert who know what's going on. This is what we always hear now, experts who know what's going on in Ukraine, for example. So those two with the Marie-Louise Beck with the MI6 connection and her husband, who was also part of that, where they have an NGO, which is called the Center for the Liberal Modern Liberalism. It is, so that's what they call themselves, at least. And they started to build up a new institution, which was called Faux Analysis. And that is a little bit strange because it has the same or similar, very similar name to an institution that existed in Nazi Germany that was run by the Nazi German intelligence system, Reichssicherheitshauptamt, which was had the similar name. It is very so similar that it was striking. And they even have the same reason to exist, to know what the foes of your political opinions, how they are organized, how they think. And you got into the focus of that. So suddenly, and that was paid for by the German government. There was a study. Tell us the story of that, Jens Berger.
Yeah, that's absolutely crazy. Like you said, they took a political scientist who's not very well known and not very successful. And they gave him the job.
Yes, he's not the brightest candle on the cake.
He's not the brightest candle on the cake.
But he's a gun for hire. He was helping in a lot of cases where it was important to get people out, to shoot people, to get them out. Yeah,
absolutely. Take them out. Absolutely. Yeah. And they gave him the job to make a study about the Nachrichtenseiten. The first sentence is written as the Nachrichtenseiten are a carrier of ideology, hinge for conspiracy theories, and an agenda setter for radical system opposition. Wow. And all he made in his study is that he wrote down the opinion pieces of some opinion journalists from the mainstream media. The funny thing is that the journalist who he cites the most often, he was fired 1 year or 2 years ago from his paper, and now he also got a job from this LibMod think tank, and the only thing he does for profit is to observe the Nachrichtenseiten and then write something on Twitter and their social media channels. how bad the Nachdenkseiten are, how pro-Putin they are, and something like this. Ah, it's so crazy. Alone, the word radical system opposition. I mean, that's so crazy. We are the ones who always argue with the German constitution, with the laws, with the rules of a democratic society. We are the advocates for free speech, for example. And now we are the agenda setter of a radical system opposition. If this is true, then we are in Germany not a democracy, but something like in the dark ages you already mentioned.
Yeah, it is true. This is why I tried to give you an idea in the beginning of the show who founded Nachdenkseiten. So somebody who was the advisor to two chancellors of Germany is now called radical system opposition. This means that it was not Albrecht Müller or the Nachdenkseiten or Jens Berger who moved from their position. It is the German state who moves towards a position of totalitarian control of the media system. And what you encountered is, and that is, it's not only that, I mean, there are effects connected to that. So the weird part is this strange think tank from MI6 oriented people, they get money from the German state, from the Ministry of for the Family, who hand out the money for this so-called study, which is led by
the Green Party.
Yeah. Yeah, that the ministry. Yeah. So it's kind of the Green Party running the German state at this part is making sure that people that they consider politically not accurate or not they don't want them to be on the political scene. They find a method to allegedly, with social scientists, make sure that these people are smeared to the degree that. And this is what will come next. There will be measures against you. It will not only be that you are this is publicized and gets into the mainstream media. And of course, it's immediately on Wikipedia. It's these things within minutes, usually after they are published, they are found in Wikipedia and will enhance the image of the people they want to smear, that they are not trustworthy. So they add up these things they produce themselves to be written on Wikipedia. Just to give you, that's a small thing, but the entry for Marie-Louise Beck in Wikipedia was written by Marie-Louise Beck. So that is usually not allowed. But in that case, of course, not all rules apply the same way to everyone. So, but can you give the, who published this this so-called scientific paper on Nachdenkseiten as being a right-wing radical system opposition?
Yeah, it was... I don't know what you mean with this question. It wasn't
where in the media. Where would you find it? I mean, was it something in silence, or was it in the public sphere?
it was in the public sphere, but it were only these special journalists who always opinion journalists who always. Discredited us and were kind of this transatlantic circle. They featured this study, and they are the ones who are cited in this in the study. So it's a small circle who
they quote. It's a circle of quotation. They quote themselves.
Right, and there are not many people. I think there are a dozen or two, maximum two dozen of journalists and members of some think tanks who crowded together and fight their war against us. It's so crazy.
The point is, it sounds a little bit like Integrity Initiative 2.0, because as you said, it's circles of quotation. So there are these people and they are active. And then they write the similar things in their magazines, and then they all quote each other that the others have said that too. And whereas for magazines like yours or publishers who have a different opinion, there's hardly any chance. They will not even be heard. So. Yeah,
right.
Go ahead.
When one of them, Matthias Meissner, is one of the examples. It's a German former journalist. Now he's a worker at the think tank, at the Lippmann think tank. When he wrote in an article in his Tagesspiegel, for example, the Nachdenkseiten are leaning to the far right and tend to be conspiracy theorists. So that's his opinion. And then in the study and via the study on Wikipedia, they say the Tagesspiegel, who's a quite known German paper, say the Nachdenkseiten are so and so. And the reader who doesn't have the background knowledge about all of this, who doesn't know that this is only one journalist who's by far not objective, it's very subjective point from him. They read this in the Wikipedia or in another article in the media, and they think that this is a fact, that there were some good journalists who made their objective opinion about this. And that's a neutral fact about the Nachdenkseiten, which is it not?
There's I think one reason. So there are these quotations, and this are some newspapers you mentioned, the Tagesspiegel in Germany, who has personnel who's only does this. They have one trick ponies who get after people, and then they discredit them as being right wing radical and so on. But there, I think we have to explain, because we have a left liberal green German government now from these three parties, and that is also true for a lot of the states. And what they do is, why are you smeared as right wing radical when you come from social democracy? Because that will have consequences. I think maybe you can explain. We should get into that. There has been a change in the definition of who is a radical. And is under the surveillance of the interior intelligence system in Germany. So we have something like the FBI, which is called the BKA. They are not really responsible for this, but we have something like the MI5, which is the Verfassungsschutz. That is German interior intelligence. And they have changed their definition on who they look at. Maybe you can explain that.
Yeah, I can explain about the political shift, especially as a matter of our history in Germany. We are very alert on right wing actions and right wing parties. And when I say right wing, I mean extreme right wing, not conservative like the German CDU, for example. When you see the main topics from the last years, it was Corona and the measures, the lockdowns, and it is, of course, the war in the Ukraine and our connection to Russia and foreign policy topics in this concern with NATO and with militarization. So, and then you have the, I will call them former left-wing parties in the German parliament, like the Green Party and like the Left Party. The Left Party is divided in two parts right at the moment. And it's so crazy. And these former left-wing parties at the topic of Corona and at the topic of the war in Ukraine and our future together with Russia, they took over very authoritarian stances.
Authoritarian,
Authoritarian stances, sorry. They were absolutely pro-lockdown. They were against freedom of expression of the lockdown critics in social media and on the street. Now they are pro-weapon deliveries to the Ukraine. They are pro-sanctions against Russia. They are Russophobic. That's by... nothing to do with left-wing politics and nothing with liberalism. That's very conservative. That's very authoritarian. And
I think the expressions have changed because we have on the conservative side
and on the right-wing side. And on the right-wing side, we have the AfD, the right-wing party in the German parliament, who in these two topics has indeed progressive stances. They were against the lockdown measures and now they are against the war. That's so crazy. We have a far right party who has progressive stances in this point. And by the strange logic of these left liberals, everything what the right, what the AfD says is wrong. So if you follow this logic alone, then the lockdowns must be correct, then the war in Ukraine and the support for Ukraine must be correct. That's a simple logic. And everybody like the Nachdenkseiten, who has another opinion on these two topics, absolutely other opinion on this topic, must be an advocate of the far right. That's their simple logic. At least, I don't know if they believe it on their own. I don't think so. But at least that's their public agenda. And I must say that.
Let's get back to that after another round of advertisement. I think we have to dive into this topic because it also structurally means something, how you could be attacked and how you will be and how you are attacked. So back after about a minute.
Patrick Henningsen on TNT Radio.
The midterms are going to be huge. Now, the way the polling is shaping up, some of these Senate races are tightening up and a lot of people that, you know, thought that there might be tight, you know, like, are the Republicans going to take the Senate? It seems like looking at the major pollsters, it's almost a fait accompli. It's a certain that the Republicans are going to retake the House of Representatives and probably in grand fashion. We're talking about Newt Gingrich type contract for America type levels during Bill Clinton's first midterm, that sort of landslide in the House. It's going to be big. What about the Senate, though? That looks like, from an odds point of view, from a pollster's point of view, it's like a statistical tie. So it's right now the Vice President Kamala Harris has the tie-breaking vote. She's obviously a Democrat, so the Republicans would have to get a outright majority in the Senate in order to retain control of both branches of Congress.
Patrick Henningsen on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
The following is made possible by Dad.
Why was the basketball court all wet? Because the players kept dribbling all over it.
The Dad joke. Corny, groan-worthy, but also one of the simplest ways to share a moment with your kids.
Why do you have to be careful when it's raining cats and dogs? Because you might step in a poodle.
And kids that spend more time with their dads grow up to be smarter, more successful.
Can I tell you a cat joke? Just kidding.
And with any luck, funnier adults.
Why didn't the skeleton go to the dance? Because he didn't have any body to go with.
Dad jokes rule. So take a moment to make a moment and give your kid a laugh. It's as easy as going to fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
That's really funny.
The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation donated more than $310 million to mainstream media. We don't tell the story that Bill Gates wants you to know. We tell the real story. We mandate that the truth be told. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Yeah, this is Dirk Pohlmann back with Jens Berger, chief editor of the Nachdenkseiten, who are under fire in Germany. So Germany is developing fast in the last 2 years into something that in a way reminds me of the Weimar Republic, or a little bit later than the Weimar Republic. We are on the transition part there. One point was, as I mentioned, interior intelligence. Interior intelligence before was responsible if you were... Have you had an ideology which was totalitarian, which would mean that you are not considering other political opinions as a possible other opinion, but they would be wrong and would be they would have to fight against them and put them to jail to execute them, that this one real truth would govern. So anything that was not pluralistically intended was under the surveillance. And you had to be active. It was not enough that you had these opinions. You had to work actively against the system of a pluralistic democracy. Then the interior intelligence would come after you. In the 70s, let's say 60s, 50s, 60s, 70s, they were only looking at the left side. Then that shifted. Then the right side, now that the left-wing parties are in charge and power, the focus shifted. And something very strange happened recently, about a year ago, that the interior intelligence had a new enemy, and that was discrediting of the state. That would mean if you publish things, if you say things, if you propose things, if you demonstrate and say that the state is arguing wrongly, and that could go from that you say that the state should be dismantled because it never really existed. That's a strange ideology that very few people in Germany have, that Germany, the Federal Republic of Germany, is a company run by the Allied forces. It ranges from that strange ideology to criticizing the state because of COVID measures. And now we have a new round, which is, there's a new paragraph. If you support a war of aggression and if you deny crimes against humanity, you can be put to 3 years, for 3 years in jail, and be fined. They can ruin you for the rest of your life in terms of money. So what we see is that if you report in a way that they don't consider right regarding COVID and the war in the Ukraine, you are now under threat in Germany of going to jail. That is not a democracy anymore, if that's possible. So this shifted, and this is why it's so important that you have been called right-wing radicals, and from this opinions of the people who are under surveillance by the German intelligence. So by these reports that you mentioned, by the media reports that put you into that corner, that you are in Wikipedia in that corner, you become fair prey. You become people that could be targeted by the state so you could be surveilled. They could have measures, secret measures against you. This puts you into the realm of the measurements of the German interior intelligence in the state. And my reporting that I just could do the same. Yeah. So good, what is your take on that, Jens?
Yeah, what's my take on that? I mean, it's so absurd. I mean, we are pro peace against war. We are pro welfare state against free trade. We are pro a good social system, pro a freedom of expression. I mean, we are against Fremdenfeindlichkeit, against hostility, against migrants, foreigners, for example, yeah. Against foreigners and this. Why on earth should we be right-wing extremes or in the near of right-wing extreme? I mean, it's so crazy. Everything made a 180-degree shift, I think. Now you are one of the good guys, and you're one of the new left. When you are pro-war, when you are pro-liberalization, for example, of the economy, when you're against the social, against social welfare, and so on and so on, that's so crazy. As you said, we are now on focus, at least by theory, from the German interior intelligence service and the police and so on. I think it's absolutely crazy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what means being against the state? We are not against the state by institution. We are not against the constitution of Germany. The opposite is the case. We are absolutely pro a strong state, but a strong state who has who is ruled by pluralistic democracy, and where every voice, be it good, be it bad, be it clever, be it dumb, has the right to be heard. That's our stance at this point. And I mean, that's classic liberal. I don't know another word for it.
Mm. No, it is. It's classic liberal stand on this is, you know, the idea that if you diminish the chances of any opinion you, that could be heard, that's John Stuart Mill, basically. You said that then you right. Deprive yourself of the possibility to improve your own your own views on realism. So this is the only method we have, which also applies for science, and it definitely applies for journalism as well. The only good method that we have is this constant questioning of things over and over again to see, and then having an open discussion, because if an argument doesn't hold the discussion, absolutely. If it has to be enforced by the state, it's a very weak argument. It's not standing on its own feet. Yeah.
Absolutely. The difference is happening now. That's a problem, not only in the public discussion, also in science. Let's get back to the corona measures, for example. It was the same. There were some scientists who were absolutely advocates for strong lockdown measures, and other scientists have another opinion. But in the public discussion, these other scientists were discredited. And now with the foreign policy to Russia, to Ukraine, it's the same. You also have very good, mostly older, journalists and scientists who have an absolutely opposite opinion than the German government, but they are discredited.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we are, as I said, under the surveillance of the interior intelligence, means that they could, for example, spy on your emails. They could see who you are working with, and they can inform them that often it's enough if I had that in the summertime. There was a festival here, a music festival, and then German interior intelligence appeared and told to the mayors of the town where the festival was running, and to the people who organized the festival, and to the journalists around it, that there would be people that they consider in this new definition enemies of the state. And they should watch out. They should be careful. And they were, you know, they were just informing that there could be the possibility that things could be said which are not according to these new rules. So this is creating an atmosphere of fear. Around them, so that you think, can I say what I just thought? Can I express what I just thought? Is it already discrediting of the state? Discrediting of the state, you could say, is the topic of what a journalist usually does. He would look for where the state does wrong and trying to publish that. Now that you can call it right-wing extremism, if you do that, even if you, and I have to again remind, your origin of Nachdenkseiten is a person who was an advisor to the chancellors Willy Brandt and Helmut Schmidt in Germany. And you can become, now it's possible that some people from the left-wing party, some people from this new labor social democratics can call you and Albrecht Müller, the one who worked for Schmidt and Brandt, they can call you radicals who fall into this category of people who have to be supervised by the German intelligence. That is, we are, I think, and this is one of the questions I have to you, do you think we're heading for something like a version of a totalitarian state in Germany?
Ooh, that's hard to answer because I don't know what's really happening inside the intelligence intelligence service community and inside the law enforcement community.
Yeah, not only least, them. For the totalitarian, you know, the definition, for example, from Hannah Arendt is if you have a dictatorial state, they don't have to take the population along. They just make their laws and they're put...
Let me say it like this. I have another approach on this. I think Bertolt Brecht said, first comes a full stomach, then comes ethics. And as a professional journalist, you are, of course, you have to earn money. You have to get a job. And if you work for alternative media and write or even a mainstream media outlet, and you write something wrong, something against the opinion of the mainstream agenda, then you get very, very severe problems to get another job, to get to earn money. And I think this is much more For you, you have your own, if you write an article, you double check it. Can I say it like this? Can I write this? And if you have a fear to lose your job, not to get a new job at another outlet, what do you do? Do you write this sentence? Do you write something different? I think this is a big danger. The minds of most of the people who are working in this business, at least the ones I know, haven't changed so much. But many of them have fear to pay their rents, to pay their houses, to pay for the children, and so on. I think this fear is a much bigger danger to our liberty, to our freedom of expression, at least in the professional media, as the intelligence service or something like this.
Yeah, that's. I think I have to explain that because what I want to come to when Hannah Arendt talked about dictatorial and totalitarian states, and the difference is that the dictatorial state simply has, for example, the police, the secret police, the intelligence agencies, and you do something wrong, they crack down. They just come and are brutal, and they don't care what the population thinks. Whereas a totalitarian state is it has to take most of the people along. About 80% of the population, so that they think that what happens is right, and so. I don't call Germany a dictatorial state that is run by the police and by the intelligence, but rather it is going towards a totalitarian state. And the point is why I say that, for example, for people like you or like others that I know from that work as journalists, people call their entrepreneurs, they call the people who rent out their flats where they live, they call their banks, they call the credit cards that they use, they call the hotels that they could use. If they are in the business of TV, they call the camera suppliers and say, how could you work together with a person like that? We are publishing a story about this person, about his newspaper, about his film company, and they are considered by some, you can look on Wikipedia, you can see that they are right-wing radicals or connected to them, and they are maybe anti-Semites, and they are undemocratic, they are allying with undemocratic people. How can you do? And then these people, colleagues of mine, which I know of, that are exactly these happens, but where journalists called, even to the point that the wife of somebody lost his, this person's lost his job at the university, yeah, because they said her husband is a look at Wikipedia, is a radical person. So how can you, how is it possible that you give a job to this person? They lose their bank accounts. They lose their credit cards. They lose their flats. They cannot get hotels for the guests that they have in anymore. So this is totalitarian. The last example I want to mention is a colleague of mine wrote an article in Der Freitag, that is a left-wing German newspaper, about exactly this case. And he argued and said, we are moving towards a totalitarian system because, for example, it was possible to go over the border of the, that you decide over your body, that you could be vaccinated, that there was pressure put out that you had to be vaccinated. And he considered that a transgression of one of the most fundamental human rights, which in English, in the for habeas corpus means I have a body. So this is the main sense. And he wanted to publish that article, and that the editor was in charge at that day. He said it, saw it, and he said, I might have to change a few words, but I really like the article. And then he asked the publisher, could I publish this article or will I be fired? And that is the biggest irony, that that's a piece of art in itself. So he was asking, am I, the editor, allowed to publish this article from an author? Or will you, the publisher, fire me because I say there's the danger of that we lose free speech in Germany? And that is, I don't have to explain the irony, but this is what I meant with totalitarian. It's not that we have a Nazi state. That's not what I mean. But we have a state which is... Yeah, okay.
That's it. Karl Marx said history repeats itself first as tragedy, second as farce. If it's a kind of totalitarianism, but not by classic means. You don't. I don't fear that I wake up in the concentration camp tomorrow, but I fear that I can't pay my bills anymore. And that's in our system here in the West. I think that's at least a very severe fear.
Mm-hmm. Let's get to the ads once more, and let's get back to that point of living in a state of fear. That's what I can say a lot of people do right now in Germany, colleagues, after the advertisement.
How did they do it? The United Nations knew about COVID lockdowns 7 years before they happened?
From Washington, D.C., this is the Morano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
In 2013, United Nations official Ivo de Boer said the only way a 2015 Paris Climate Agreement could achieve the 2-degree temperature goal was to shut down the whole global economy. We all know what happened 7 years later. The whole global economy was shut down. But there's more. In November 2019, 6 months before COVID lockdowns, the United Nations demanded 7% yearly cuts in carbon dioxide. Fast forward 6 months, global economy shut down. 2020 sees 7% cut in carbon dioxide emissions. The United Nations called it. In 2021, the UK Guardian headline read, "Global lockdown every 2 years needed to meet the Paris CO2 goals." There you have it. Climate policy in a nutshell. Lock us down, keep us locked down. For the Morano Minute, this is Mark Morano on TNT Radio.
Forget your mobile and what's the worst thing that can happen? You have to find the last payphone in Britain. Forget Valentine's Day, tricky one, but nothing a little charm couldn't solve. Forget that the dishwasher actually works a lot better if you turn it on and it's a few excuses about dodgy wiring. Forget to check the batteries in your smoke alarm. And maybe one night, poisonous smoke fumes from a fire will drift silently upstairs and suffocate you or your family. Remember, test them every week. Push the button, not your luck.
You have the power of information, lighting the fuse for freedom. TNT Radio.
And this is the Dirk Pohlmann, chief editor of Nachrichtenseiten, Germany's premier alternative medium. We're talking about, let's say, fear to express your opinion, which is which is the effect of these, what the Chinese call punish one, educate 100. So if you have something like Alina Lip, and they always start with people where you could say maybe they have, they went a little bit haywire, that they went on, you know, over the top. That's always, it started in the United States with Alex Jones, but then they come down on one after the other, yeah, one publication after the other. The strange part in Germany is that they started with KenFM, which is not like Alex Jones, but a lot of people considered it not real journalism. But Nachdenkseiten is, as I said, is the link between the mainstream media, or was the link, mainstream media and alternative media, because it adhered to the standards of journalism. But you are neglected this tag now. And this question of fear, I mean, is it... Because it's a much more elaborate system than the stormtroopers coming at you and smack your face against the wall. It is rather that a lot of people have second or third thoughts if they say what they mean. I was in a party yesterday with lots of colleagues and similar-minded people and academics, and two of them were from former GDR, and they said they notice the same attitude that they had in the final five years of GDR, the agony, as they called it, where people would have two different sets of realities that they would speak about. If they speak in private, they say different things that they could see that they would speak out in public. And I mean, really different, not a bit more polite or so, but you know, you better not touch this topic if you want to stay in your job, for example, in a public TV station. And it's not that the intelligence system comes after you, but employees of the TV station would say, I cannot work together with this person anymore. It's his attitude on LGBT, his attitude on climate change, his LGBT attitude on COVID, his attitude on the Ukraine war are not bearable, so we have to get rid of him. And it works. Yeah, so is that... Yeah. Did you encounter things like that already, that you had problems with business-wise?
Absolutely. Not with my bank or something like this. And for God's sake, the Nachdenkseiten, we have a very stable base of people who donate to us. So we don't have this, we don't have a real fear that someday we might lose our jobs. But as I said before, I also write books. I was, for the first books, I was often invited for a lecture, for example. And this is where you earn, as an author, where you earn your money with. And these invitations became extremely rare. That's only one example. As a journalist, you write articles for other magazines or other papers, for example, with which you earn money. It's the money part. It's no real problem for me because, like I said, Nachdenkseiten have a stable financial base. But when I think about colleagues from smaller alternative media, for them it is a very, very big problem, of course. And the bad thing is that this method to silence the people is extremely effective. Like I said, it's a little bit like in the GDR. My wife grew up in the GDR, and the atmosphere in the last 5 years, she told me some days ago, absolutely reminds her of this public. Of the public fear in the GDR to tell your opinion public. Mm-hmm. And I think this is for a democracy like Germany, with freedom of expression and anything like this, it's such a hard verdict. But it's true. Mm-hmm. But it's true. It is like this. Yeah.
It is. Yeah. It's yesterday when we were talking. Then the point was that they argued, now you know what we're talking about. It is that this experience, which is like the air suddenly has a weight. you walk around and you know that it's not the same. You're not to go out and expand a little bit, so to speak, because you're at fresh air, but there's pressure coming down on you. And they said, and that's also, there is this in the companies, in the where you work, you feel this, what they called agony, because it not only silences people, but it gives them an attitude of that you're always on the hush to go somewhere else. It is not that you don't blossom, so to speak. In the last 10 minutes that we have.
I mean, you have this corridor of expression guarded by railings on both sides. I mean, you have this all the time in Germany, the 50s and the 60s. For example, if you have national socialistic Nazi opinions, then you were outside this allowed corridor. If you have communists opinions, then in most cases, for example, the academic life at the university, you were outside this corridor. But the corridor is getting nearer and nearer in the last years. Now it's enough that you criticize, for example, the corona measures, that you are against weapon deliveries to the Ukraine. It's the corridor is so near in these days that it's driving me crazy.
Yeah, in a way, you could say, to quote a famous German intellectual Karl Kraus, that the West has become, the Western societies have become the plague for which they pretended to be the cure. We are heading towards some. And I want to get into one argument. I was invited to the George Eliason show here on TNT. He's an American living in Donetsk. And he, for a long time, he's not only there for a few days or for a few weeks or a few months. And he reminded me, and I didn't know that, he said he knew some of the names from these people from this Liberale Moderne. And I remind the listeners again that they have the same name in this institution, Analysis of the Enemy, of the Foe. Reichssicherheitshauptamt has. If you would do the same, if you would use this name for something that you do, if you would even have an institution that is surveillance of the foe, you would immediately, it would appear on Wikipedia as a proof that you are a Nazi. But they, of course, can do it. But what George Eliason was talking about is that these people that he said he knew the names and said they are the ones who have the contacts with the Nazis in Ukraine. And when I talk of Nazis in Ukraine, I mean Nazis. I mean not right-wing radicals. These are people who have exactly this ideology and also the ideology of strength and eternal war that is connected to that. Did you encounter that when you were attacked by Liberale Moderne? Do you know that they have they had these meetings that they are since really 2014 they are in contact with these people? And Ralf Fuchs, the head of the former Böll Stiftung from the Green Party, even said in the beginning that they should refrain. The Green people should refrain from talking about that there are people who are right-wing radicals now. Nazis in Ukraine, but rather talk about Europe when they talk about them. So it was in their focus already at that time. But did you encounter, do you know that?
No, I didn't. But it doesn't surprise me at all. Because, you know, the Ukrainian Nazis are the good Nazis because they are against Russia, and we all know they are pro-Western values and something like this. I'm kidding. It's crazy. But you see, Fuchs has arrived now on the other end. Like I said, he started as Maoist, then he became a Democrat, then he became a liberal Democrat, and now he's on the far right side where he arrived.
That is a strange case, by the way, that we also discussed yesterday. I think it needs to be investigated a little bit, that Green Party come from this Maoist side. There's even, for example, the head of the state of Baden-Württemberg now, Kretschmann. He has been. That is, you know, it's very strange that these people from the extreme left and the Maoists were, in the left wing spectrum, they were the wildest bunch, so to speak. Yeah, they were, and these people make up a lot of the positions in the Green Party, and not all of them are on this totalitarian slippery slope, but Fuchs and Marie-Louise Beck definitely are, I think. Yeah, it's fair to say that the connections that they have, what they for them, for example, they consider you democracy because they don't like your opinions, and they try to paint you in the right wing and into the anti-Semite extreme right wing position where you do not belong at all. But they have no qualms to talk with people who are really Nazis because they support the policies that they consider fit, which is the NATO war policy, which started now in Ukraine, but soon will spill over to Taiwan, I think. It is just a matter of getting back to that. Did you get support? I mean, what is also sometimes I get now people who call me and say, I'd like to get in contact with you, probably not publicly, because that could be dangerous. I like what you do, and can we discuss this in private, or can we exchange information? Is that something that you encounter too?
Absolutely, yeah. That happens quite often. And we, from the Nachrichten Seiten, we have more than 20,000 donators who regularly donate money to us. And of course, we have bunches of emails from people who wish to contact us, who wish to talk to us. I mean, sadly, we can't follow any, not any, but we can't follow all of their wishes. Of course, we don't have the time for this. We must read our articles and run a website and something like this. But that's a great thing in the job. Yes, you. There are very many people who come to us and say, stay strong, stay like you are, don't bend yourself. You are a glimpse of hope in the dark time, something like this, you know. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah, that's in the publications I do, that's what we get all the time. And that tells you proximity, the agony of the GDR. Maybe that's a good expression. I heard we're heading for something similar. And as I said, for me, it was very interesting to be in Vienna and to hear that the people from us, the colleagues from Australia, the colleagues from Canada, the colleagues from the United States, we all had the same story. Is that so internationally? Do you have international connections? Do they have correspondence?
Yeah, I want to take the chance. It's not every day I speak to an international audience. So if there are some heroes here who write articles, we always are looking for correspondents from different countries. Just write me an email. It's jb@nachdenkseiten.de. We also pay money for articles, and if I get some good authors, something like this, on this way, this would be a great thing.
Yeah, that is a thing that, I'm grateful for the chance from TNT that I can present kind of a European perspective on the things. And I think we have to internationalize, because what we see Absolutely. Is really that the other side has that done already. We are late on the international trade. Yeah,
that's true.
You want to say?
Sad but true, yeah.
Yeah. So go ahead.
No, it's okay. You're right. You're right with this. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. We, especially in the media, we are in Europe. I mean, I think it's worse in Europe than it is. There's, because of the language, there's a connection between US Ireland, Canada, and Great Britain. There is a common ground there. But in Europe, you have all these different languages, and Europe is really in the 18th century. It is very small kingdoms with people who are not connected at all. So, for example, for us, we don't know what is going on in Denmark in the media.
Right.
What is going on in Greece with the media? We have
on France.
In front. So that was your you have the plea out for correspondence, and you even pay, which is not usual in the alternative media world. In the end, I want to give you the last word. What is your take on what we talked today? You have about 45 seconds. Please tell us what.
That's tough. Yeah, the times are getting harder and harder. The atmosphere of freedom is getting tougher and tougher. And I only hope that this development will turn soon, that we remind of the values we fight for. And I think we're not so separated from the ones in the classic media. Normally they have the same values like us, but they have forgotten the values. But I still hope that we can wake them up.
Okay, we are about to finish now. So this is a message in a bottle to Australia and the rest. Let's work together. Freedom is in danger.